two verses.
Romans chapter 1 and 14. Certainly happy to be able to tell you a little bit of the work in Zambia. It's the Lord's work. We're thankful just to be a part of that work and to tell you what the Lord is doing. And we trust that it'll be an encouragement to all of us to pray, to be involved actively in prayer, and to pray that perhaps the Lord will send along more. We need more workers. Romans chapter 1, please, and verse 14. Paul here is writing, and we see him bearing his heart to us, showing his desire and exercise concerning the work of the Lord wherever. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in the earth, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are of Rome also. I see two things in these verses I want to bring to our attention. And they apply definitely to me, and I think they should apply to each one of us. Paul here says, essentially, in verse 14, where there are people who haven't heard, I should be there. I should be there. I'm a debtor. I have a debt to go to people who have never heard. Verse 15, I look at it like this. Paul says, I'm prepared to go. Wherever the Lord is going to take me, wherever there's a need, as much as in me is, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. So I think that any time we hear of the Lord's work, any time we hear of a need, we have to be in this attitude. Or else it's really, we're not in touch with the attitude and the mind that the apostle has. Know what the Lord expects from us. When we hear of a need, it doesn't matter where it is. The Lord did say, and we've read those verses, go ye. So it comes to us. Am I prepared to go? Am I willing? And the other part of it is, if there is that need, and if the Lord should direct me, will I go? Can I get myself ready for that need? Can I make the preparations that are possible to serve the Lord in that land? I believe very firmly, brethren, that we need to be directed of the Lord as to where to go. Definitely. The Lord is alone the one who can guide us where to go. But we need to have a heart that says, I'm willing. We need to have our hands ready, our heart ready, saying, I'm prepared to go wherever the Lord will take me. But I also believe that in the same sense as the Lord directed me to go to Zambia, the Lord must direct each one of us. Perhaps he'll direct you very evidently that your work is at home. But unless you have a call to stay home, I believe that you should be on your knees as to where you should be. I don't believe that everybody should stay home except for a few who are called elsewhere. Each one of us is given a work to do. My interest in the work in Zambia came when I was just a child. I wasn't even a teenager. When people came, including Agnes MacDonald and Dr. Sam Emerson, they came to my home, to my parents' home. They brought along slides of Africa. They told of the work there. They showed pictures of people being baptized. I wasn't even baptized at that time, but I was a believer in the Lord Jesus. And it struck me that there was a need. I prayed about it. It was many years later when I was thinking about it and others of my friends had a concern and a desire. In fact, it was an amazing thing to me that the girl I was writing to, when I wrote and told her, you know, I've heard about the work in Zambia and I'm thinking of going to take a visit just on my own expense, just to see what it's like. Eunice wrote back and said, and our letters crossed in the mail, she said, I'm sure you haven't heard of a place called Loloma in Zambia, but the Lord's been exercising me about that place. Now that was just the beginning of the Lord directing myself and my wife. We went over to Zambia.
I must say that it was an eye-opener to see the work firsthand, to be hundreds of miles away from a town or a city or anything of that description, and to be in the attitude of trying to help in the work there. Of course, Zambia is a language, the language there is officially English, but where we live, there's very few who know it. So I couldn't do too much as far as preaching was concerned, except through interpretation. But one thing I did see was this. There was a hospital work at Loloma, where I went. There were people there who were serving people who were in definite physical need. But they had in their minds the spiritual need was even greater. And so they took them, they cared for them lovingly with their physical needs, but they met them with the spiritual needs as well. The gospel was preached every day. I couldn't hear it, but I could see it being done. I could hear them tell of this person being saved and that one being saved and going back one day's journey, 2 days' journey, off back into a little pocket alongside a little river, doing a little bit of fishing, a little bit of camping over there. And then I began to wonder, what about those people when they go back? What about the areas they come from? They say they haven't heard before. They've come to the hospital because of me, but out there nobody's preached to them. I heard of little assemblies being established with nobody to help, nobody to encourage them. The Lord began to speak to my heart. At that point, I was interested in being a doctor. But the Lord said effectively, no. Well, I want you in Zambia, but not as a doctor. I want you to go out to those ones and twos out in the village area where they don't have the gospel, where they don't have much teaching. Let's look, please, at the map. This here is a map of Africa, and you can see Zambia here in the center. Zambia is a large country. It's larger than the state of Texas. It has a population of over 6 million people. Now, this is Zambia as a whole. Most of the population in cities are in this area here and a little bit down here. But all throughout Zambia, people live around small rivers, out in the little pockets here and there, 400, 500, just off on their own, some of them without roads. We live in a small town, right here, in the corner, the northwest corner of Zambia. We live in a place called Kabompo, and we work in a district called Kabompo, but we spend very little time in our hut. Our desire and our exercise is for people in this area here, all throughout this area, who can speak and understand the language that we have learned, the language of the valley. What does it mean to be involved in that sort of work? What do we do? It's very different than here, I must say. In fact, to get to visit the people out in Zambia, definitely we need a four-wheel drive vehicle. We go off along a little winding road. We follow directions from people, or usually we take along a believer or somebody from that area to go with us. We go as far as we can. Sometimes we take a motorbike the rest of the way. Sometimes we've gone along a canoe the rest of the way, out to a little place where they've never heard. People who have never heard are a real exercise upon my mind. And it's something that really, it just grips you. When you think that there are people who have never heard the gospel, when you come to people and say, now let's pray, and they don't know what you mean. Pray to who? They don't understand that we're meaning to pray to God in heaven that He'll bless the preaching of His word. When we ask them, now, just be quiet for a minute. I want to speak to you from God's word. All these things are brand new. We go to areas where people have seldom heard, where some people have never heard. What do we find? Well, first thing we do find is opposition of Satan. We have found in the middle of gospel meetings, a snake run right through the middle. Everybody flees. Why?
Well, they fear snakes, and so do I. But the thing is this, Satan is there to stop the work of God. Even on our way over to Zambia, we were just about blown up on a pontoon to go across the river. But the Lord preserves. The Lord does care for His people. And we have been thinking of many situations, trying to go out to an area, and it seems as if Satan is there to stop it. But the Lord is there to give encouragement and help and strength. When we go out to an area, it doesn't really matter where it is, it's essentially the same sort of work. What we do is, we park the vehicle, we set up a tent. Or if we've gone on a motorbike, well, we set up a much smaller tent. And then we would set out in the afternoon to different areas, just walking, sometimes driving if there is a road, and we would come up to a village. Now, when I'm talking of a village, I'm not thinking of something large of several thousand people. We're thinking of maybe 20, 50 people in a few huts made in a circle. And you can come up to one of these areas and say in their language, excuse me, Oti Otimane. And you hear back behind one of the huts a voice saying, welcome, visitor, in their language. And we come on. We sit there under a tree. They brought us a chair to sit down. And the man of the village will come up and he'll say, how are you? And how's your family? We go through a long system of greeting and telling how we are and what we've come. And we say essentially, we've come to tell you about God. We brought His word and we want to speak to you. Within 5 minutes, that man has said to all of those on the village, come and listen. 20, 30, sometimes 50, over 100 people are gathered under a tree to hear the word of God. Some of these people, never having heard before, not really knowing what to expect. And it's then that we are cast upon our God in such a great way. How do you explain what God is like in just a few small minutes to people who have never heard? How do you tell them the gospel in a nutshell when you know perhaps they won't be there tomorrow or the next day, or there's so many people who haven't heard, it's hard to come back? But we are thankful that the Lord has exercised various ones, has worked in their lives. We've seen in a village here, for example, that one or two will be sitting around afterwards asking questions, saying, what do you mean? What do you mean by this? How can a person know his sins forgiven? And we try and explain. And then we say, what about coming back afterwards in the evening? Couldn't we come back for a series of meetings? Now, we don't usually have meetings inside a building because it's just not suitable over there. What we generally do is have it around a fire. In the still of the evening, people have finished their work. They gather around the fire. They're all ready to listen. Quiet. Their hearts are prepared. We stand up and use a little flashlight to point upon our Bibles and try and speak to them of a message that casts out the fear that they have. A message that tells them that there's freedom from the slavery to sin. A message that meets their need. We've also found a great need as far as assembly. And we try and meet that need because the Lord has been working even without the missionary. People hearing the gospel and going back into an area, telling their friends, a few of them being saved, they come out and say to some nearby elders, would you walk with us for a half an hour or 30 miles or whatever to come to our place and teach us a little bit? And an elder, a Zambian elder, will come and teach them and help them and guide them, and an assembly will be gone. No roads to get there. No way to really visit them except on a bicycle or whatever. And occasionally, I've had the privilege of going out to areas where they've never been really taught very much. Small assemblies, but with a desire for the Word of God. with a real interest in the things of God. When we say we're going to have some meetings, they want you to start at the crack of dawn and carry on right into the middle of the night. They don't want to even stop for lunch. And I say, well, could you please give me just a little break? I would like to eat something for a bit. When you see them interested, I remember one assembly called Kalolwa. We went there after much difficulty by bicycle, and we visited them. They said, why did you only bring a handful of Bibles? Well, I thought it was quite obvious that you can't carry 50 Bibles on a bicycle. But they wanted some more. They hadn't had Bibles in that area. So we came back later through a very difficult terrain, through rivers and on a plane in the dry season to visit them. But this is a road that we made that was only open once a year. At the very driest point of the year, we could visit them. We stayed there for a week. Ministry meetings all day long and gospel meetings in the evening. And the Lord really saw desire on their part. What did the assembly do? They said, you know, we want you to come and visit us more. We're going to build a road. So they started. It took them 3 years with an axe, with a hoe, pulling things out of the way, digging out the trees through the depths of the forest for about 25 kilometers. They finally made a road. Why? So that we could go and visit them. They knew that if there was no road, it was pretty difficult. So they built a road, and we've been trying to go there on a regular basis. What have we seen? We've seen people who, when we were first there, they didn't understand very much about salvation. The truth of eternal security had never reached their village. The fact of our being saved completely through the work of Christ, they never understood before. When it comes to the fact of our gathering to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to bow before Him in worship and thanksgiving, they didn't really appreciate that truth. They gathered all right, but it was more a ceremony. They'd been told what to do, but not why. The last visit we had before we came home, it was a real thrill to me to see an assembly that had only been 15 or 20 when we were first there. Now they've doubled. Why? Because they themselves have seen that their neighbors, their fellow villagers, need the gospel. And that example we have of going there and preaching the gospel in a different village every night, they've tried to keep it up. Maybe not every day, but they've gone out with the gospel. When we go to help them, we usually help them as a family. We go along with my wife, and she's a great help in the work. When I was first learning the language, having been there before, she was a corrector. Always saying, no, no, not that way, and helping me along. And it was really something I could be thankful for. But then, after the meeting, the woman will come to her and say, now, why is it that you do this? Can you teach us to read? How should we treat our children and bring them up? We noticed that you spanked David, and they didn't think that was a good idea at all, according to their culture. And they came to reprimand Eunice to find that the Word of God really teaches things different than they believe. And so in a sense, what we were trying to do is to fit ourselves into their life as a family, to live among them for a week or two at a time, and to meet their needs, not only with the teaching of the Word, showing them how to preach the gospel, but also to meet their needs day by day, talking to them, answering questions, sometimes well into the night, around the fire. Only the embers left now. Some men are sitting there. Now, what about this? What about that? What does the Word of God say about this problem? What a thrill. Sometimes we're so tired, we just wish we could go to bed. But oh, the Lord gives us the strength just to go on for one more question. That's how we do. That's how the type of work that the Lord has exercised us to do there in Zambia. The result? We've seen assemblies as Kalolwa, who before didn't know much.
people who were drunkards in sin, they knew nothing of the gospel, rising together and not wanting to stop a breaking of bread. No clocks there. On and on they went, one after the other, pouring out his heart full of thanksgiving for the Savior. They made it worthwhile. But I would be wrong in giving the impression that the work was all encouraging. That's not true. We have great discouragement. People that we've worked with for years find them going back into witchcraft, going back into a life of sin, taking up another two wives, and so on. Real discouragement. We'd appreciate your prayer. What about the need? In closing, let me tell you that we wish we had a lot more. In our small area, within about 50 miles in every direction, we have about 50 assemblies. Some of them very small. Most of them not well taught at all. There are 3 Zambian commended workers that we seek to work with, to help and to encourage them. They travel on bicycles, and we can take them along and help them to the further areas. But we're the only other one doing that sort of work. There's a great need, not just at Kabompo, but throughout all of Africa, throughout all of Zambia, for people to go. The need's there. May the Lord speak to our hearts to do 2 things. To strive with us in prayer, and to say, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever Thou wilt lead me. We pray that the Lord will help us.